Well,
this is Don Josue Goodman, and we're filled with a lot of glitches this morning. And we're just going to let this song play out. And just remind everyone that Hashem loves you. This is now the 289th class of Soul Class. And that being said, we're just going to try to call in one more time because there seems to be a pretty big glitch in the system. Hold on, please. Blessed souls, I hope we're even trying, we're on the show. Let's just see here what's going on here. Yeah, it's one of those days, blessed souls. Yesterday I did a show on the power of saying Tehillim, and what happened was I had some mental log jams in my speaking because I had not had breakfast. So lo and behold, I figured about 12 minutes before the show that I would, in fact, make some juice. I made some ginger juice with cucumber and cayenne pepper. And lo and behold, then I realized I was late in starting the show. And with that being said, then I got a low signal on my host phone, which I usually use, and that didn't work. Now I'm just trying to get into the show, and I don't even know if I'm on the show. I don't even know if I'm talking to anyone except myself. So let's see. Let's try to go into the studio again. What's going on here? And then we can hopefully do the show. I would imagine that this experience here will generate probably a low listenership. I hope that it won't be reflective of lack of participation in the future in terms of extending your blessed ears, mind, and so to listen to our humble efforts. Certainly we're getting humbled by this effort. So let's just try one more time to get into the studio. Again, if you hear me, that's great. And if not, well, we might just have to scrap the whole program for today. So let's see what's going on here. Just go to www.blogtalkradio. Let's see if we can pick up our studio, because we're a little bit lost without the studio. Let's see what's going on here. Yeah, for some reason, it could be because of the rain, because it's raining here in Kessler Crown Heights quite profusely. Maybe there's a problem. And please bear with me. Well, yeah, boy, I think this is going to be the bloopers version of Soul Talk. Let's just see what we can get here. Everything is moving very slowly. So you know what? We're just going to... Yeah, something is moving very, very slowly here. Let's just try one more time. And then we'll just read. You might have to just redo the show. Either tomorrow or at a future date. Okay. Let's hold on here. Very, very strange. Everything is moving at a snail's pace. Anyway, blessed souls, we want to welcome anyone or everyone who is listening or hear this, what I call the blooper version of the Soul Talk class. Hopefully we can look back from this some years from now and have a really good laugh over it, because it is laughable what's happening right now. Blessed souls, we are now in the 289th class tutorial, programming of Soul Class, a series of humble efforts on part of your humble soul, cyberspace Torah activist Don Josue Goodman, who is eating a lot of humble pie right now in terms of trying to even just get into the studio, and the computer is really glitching out on me. Today we're going to be discussing, hopefully, if this program is actually being recorded, explorations of a prophet prophecy and divine glory getting revealed. A prophet, a leper, I should say, and revealed glory. Let's just try to get one more time into the host studio, which we don't seem to be able to, but let's just go on reading and let's see what happens. Blessed souls, we are now in the final full week before we of Israel prepare ourselves to receive the Torah, which was originally communicated to the 12 tribes of Israel almost 3,325 years ago. Now, with that being said, while in general the human family experience has not much of a problem, in fact, actually feels quite comfortable describing the events that took place on a humble Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, which basically there was the transpiring or the epic event of the giving of what the world recognizes as the Ten Commandments. We want to remind everyone that much more than Ten Commandments were given at Mount Sinai. In fact, during the 40 days that the mighty Levi prophet Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, was standing on Mount Sinai, he received the entirety of the Torah and then would transmit it to the nation of Israel then and for the next 40 years, and we're still talking about that event 3,325 years ago. Now, you can learn more how there were more than just Ten Commandments, but in particularly of all the five books of Moses, by going to the book of Exodus in the Torah portion called Mishpatim, and also in the Torah portion of Bahar, which was part of what we read last week in the two portions of the Torah we read last week, Bahar and Bechukosai. And with that being said, blessed souls, the purpose of the giving in the Torah thereby empowered Israelites and the blessed children of Noah to engage in physical and spiritual multitasking to this day towards the ultimate rectification of creation, ushering in solely with the consent of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, may be blessed, an era in fulfillment of prophecy, as recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 5, quote, "And the glory of the Creator will be revealed, and together all flesh shall see, the mouth of the Creator has spoken." Now, if as a whole, the human family experience is expected to spiritually and physically multitask, will we be surprised that our expectations of the Messiah and Mashiach will also be within the context of the fact that the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Lion of Judah, will be highly proficient when spiritually, physically, spiritually multitasking, and that will be something which will be demanded of him in terms of what his personal service will be, in terms of his own personal actualization, before he's fully revealed, at the time of his full revelation, and the continuance of his service as the Mashiach, the Messiah, the King, to lead not only the nation of Israel, but be for the guide and instructor for all the nations of the world, all the Bnei Noach. Now, you can check out source material, which is provided freely and in abundance in the writings of the Rambam. And also, I would suggest two websites where you can go to learn more about concepts of the Mashiach and Messiah and what is expected of the Mashiach as according to the inner dimensions of Torah and the legalistic dimensions of Torah by going to www.chabad.org, or you can go to www.inner.org. And we're still not in our studio, blessed souls, so this is a matter of concern. Let's see if we can get into another way here as we continue with our efforts. Very strange things are occurring here today, blessed souls. So that being said, that that the Mashiach, the Messiah, will be involved in influencing all to follow Torah / divine instruction and fulfill mitzvot, commandments. He will be by matter of those who resist his divinely pure intentions. He will have to be capable of having to deal with negative thought patterns, unfortunately ingrained within the minds of so many slumbering human souls. And his role shall transpire into one of master of elevation, subdual, and positive human actualization / transformation. When he is able, finally able, not just in potential as the Mashiach, not a potential Mashiach, but as the actual Mashiach, the actual Messiah, when he will be able to actualize all his potentialities to become a fully competent conqueror of distortion of human consciousness, meaning any human consciousness which is distorted to the true purpose of life, the true purpose of human beings, the true purpose of why there is such a smorgasbord of various peoples upon the earth, he'll be able to connect all the dots together, that for sure we shall see in the abundance the revelation of divinity, godliness, Elokus. And this revelation will cut to the core of any remaining dregs of negativity, resulting in that blessed, blissful day, the triumph of good over evil. It sounds so good, blissful, so I'll say it even two more times. That blessed, blissful day, the triumph of good over evil. Yes, the triumph of good over evil, blessed souls, will be a blessed, blissful day. However, what about us who are not of the Mashiach? Meaning we, only one person can be the Messiah. So that means the rest of us who are not. What is our role? We're not in that level. But at the very least, we can focus on strengthening our own awareness of goodness that we have engaged in the past, presently, what we can do, and last but not least, what options exist for us to carry out some long-term goodness. As well, we can promote the following question. Are we, when we ask ourselves, are we monitoring our moments of life? And our waking moments, are they devoid of hatred? Are our waking moments devoid of jealousy? And if our waking moments are also devoid of unnecessary competition, and choosing instead to fulfill our moments with love towards the Creator, love towards other human beings, encouraging other human beings to carry out their mission here upon the blessed earth, and encouraging others to better themselves and avoid competing in unhealthy ways against other human beings. Now, with that being said, blessed souls, we want to continue to explore the concept of tsaras, leprosy, which is incurred by Miriam, for on her level of righteousness, was in fact deemed accountable for speaking against her brother Moshe, even though her intent was for his benefit. So now we're going to just briefly look into the book of Bamidbar, chapter 12, and that's verse 5. And let's just get there as I turn the pages here. And you can hear me turn the pages as I'm still trying to figure out why, in fact, we cannot connect to any place on the internet. So, again, I'm not even sure we're broadcasting. I hope we are. Something has happened with our connection to the internet. So, let's see here. Let's see if we can connect now. Still not even connecting, but hopefully I did call into the show. And I do see that my telephone is recording minutes, so we're doing something. We might just be talking to ourselves. Kind of strange, isn't it? Well, with that being said, if we go to chapter 12, verse 5 in the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, blessed souls, we see that the following is written. And the Creator came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the door of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forth. Now, last week we talked about the fact that the Most High revealed himself suddenly to Aaron and Miriam. So here, that the Most High came out and called unto both of them, both prophets, Aaron and Miriam, Aaron being the older brother of Moshe, Moses, Miriam being the older sister, the oldest of the three siblings. And there was a separation between them and Moses at that particular time. Apparently all of them, all three of them, were in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting place, the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And the Most High wanted to speak to them and therefore give praise about Moshe as his trusted servant. And with that being said, what did the Most High talk about in praise of Moshe, Moses? In chapter 12, verse 6, we read, then he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Creator," or the Lord, as we normally would say in English, "if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, in a vision, I make myself known unto him, and in a dream, I do speak with him." Rashi explains, the primary elucidator of the Oral Torah elucidations of the written Torah, Torah Shavaksav, comments that the where it mentions in this verse here, the Lord, or I, the Lord, in a vision, make myself known unto him, meaning the prophets. Rashi mentions that the presence of my name, referring to the Shekhinah, the divine presence, will not appear to the prophets, other prophets aside from Moshe, in a bright mirror where the vision can be clearly perceived, but rather in a dream and a vision. As well, in the next verse we see, blessed souls, my servant Moses is not so. In all my house he is trusted. What is that referring to? Well, blessed souls, the Most High was explicitly instructing, or had explicitly instructed Moshe to separate from his wife, Tzipporah, in order that he would constantly remain in a physical, spiritual, pure status. So therefore, the idea that had been communicated to Miriam by Tzipporah, which Tzipporah lamented over the fact when she had heard there were two other prophets prophesying in the camp of Israel at that time in the desert, that she lamented for their wives that there would be two more wives among the tribes of Israel who would in fact not be able to be with their husbands as one flesh to produce more children and to comfort each other. And Miriam had read into that that why should her brother go on to live the life that he was living now at this current state as the prophet of Israel, that he would no longer be married to his wife in the full sense of marriage. In fact, he had actually had separated from her. So the anger that had been aroused against Miriam was that she did not take into consideration the fact that the same brother Moses, who had led the 12 tribes of Israel out of Egypt, was the same Moshe who had actually been instructed by the Most High to abstain from relations with his wife. And this is hinted to in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, where Moses was told to tell the nation of Israel, quote, "Go say to them, return yourselves to your tents, but as for you, stand by me." The Most High had told Moshe, stand by me, and be the implication being, you will now for the rest of your life. And Moshe lived 120 years. At the time that Israel had left Egypt, he was at the age, the hoary old age of 80, and would continue to be the prophet, the chief prophet, the chief leader for Israel for the last 40 years of his life. So this had very strong implications against the reasoning of Miriam, who at her level and she was a prophetess, and she was an extremely righteous woman. Remember, blessed souls, she saved the life of Moshe. And continuing on, verse 8, mouth to mouth I speak with him, in manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the appearance of the Creator, or this in the form of some sort of appearance which can be fathomed by the human mind or the prophetic mind, he looked upon, not that the Most High has a real physical image, but the vision, prophetic vision that he was shown, the prophetic appearance that was shown to him, that Moshe could look at intently to understand the clear communication of the Most High. Then the Most High said, continuing on in the verse in chapter 12, verse 8, "And where, how come you were not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" In chapter 12, verse 9, "And the anger of the Creator was kindled against them, and he departed." In verse 10, we'll stop at this part of the presentation, blessed souls. "And when the cloud was removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous as white as snow, and Aaron turned towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Quite a frightful appearance, where a woman of her stature had now been turned into a humbled recipient of this awesome type of affliction called a tzaras, leprosy, which again, I just wanted to mention that this disease, which is also there's another type of leprosy, the modern type of leprosy should not be associated with the type of leprosy that is being discussed here in this Torah portion and other parts of the five books of Moses. We're still trying to get into our studio, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if I'm broadcasting, but we're still doing this just for the sake of, if we made a commitment to do something, we should try to do it, even though we're not sure we're even broadcasting. So, with that being said, blessed souls, we're now going to turn to the main point of this humble presentation, which again, we're certainly getting humbled in our efforts to do so, as I can't even connect to anything on my internet, even though the connection is clear, crystal clear, in terms of the bars at the bottom of the computer. Looks like we got back in. We might have gotten in. And somehow the page is not available. Boy, oh boy, this is something really strange. Anyway, let's go into the final segment of today's program. And let's see if we can get into our studio. Can we still get into our studio? It looks like we're in our studio. So we have been on Blessed Souls, and again, I apologize to you profusely for all these glitches. So the last part of today's presentation, we're going to be plucking in generously from the context of the Hasidic discourse, L'chaim L'brocha. I'm going to sip on some ginger juice that I've made. That's good. Within the context of Lubavitch Rebbe's Maimer from 5722, 5,722 years blazing into the creation, Shabbos Mevorchim Iyar, Tovshin Chof Beis. We want to return to prefacing towards a general distinction between soul and body, body and soul. Now, blessed souls, soul and body, body and soul, not only applies to our blessed human bodies, it also applies to inanimate matter, plant, vegetable matter, fruit matter, and animal matter. To help us become more acquainted with the Torah perspective that all forms of existence on earth have body and soul, we want to turn to a prophetic teaching from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 10. "And as for the likeness of their faces, there was a human face, and a lion's face to the right for the four of them, and the ox's face to the left for the four of them, and an eagle's face for all four of them." And this is referring to the vision that the Navi Yecheskel, prophet Ezekiel, had. We're looking at the divine chariot. So what exactly is the connection between that prophecy in Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 10, and how we are attempting to internalize the dots being connected before our blessed minds and hearts, blessed souls, in terms of trying to understand how will it be in the future, ultimately, that our bodies will be resurrected, our souls will be once again enclosed in our bodies after the great resurrection, Olam HaTachiyah, in the world of the resurrection of the dead. But we need to connect some preliminary dots, which we're going to do right now. Well, the root of eliciting the souls, for instance, of, say, let's say, all undomesticated wildlife, you know, the lions, the tigers, the monkeys, the bears, the giraffes, the rhinoceros. What is the root for eliciting the souls of all undomesticated wildlife? And how does that connect to the prophecy we just read in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10? As it is known, in the environments of undomesticated wildlife, where that wildlife is completely dependent upon the inborn nature embedded within them of zerizut, alacrity, zealousness, eagerness to carry out tasks, attack or be attacked, survive or be destroyed in the untamed jungles of the world, untamed plateaus and deserts and valleys, wherever they may be on the various continents of this blessed earth. So this nature of zerizos is rooted from the spiritual countenance of the lion's face located to the right of the divine chariot. Now, when we talk about what is the root for eliciting the souls of all domesticated animals, this is elicited from the spiritual qualities of the spiritual countenance of the ox, the face of the ox, who in that prophecy, chapter 1, verse 10 in Ezekiel, is, quote, to the left, end of quote. And this spiritual root accounts for the great power and might of domesticated animals such as oxen, who have been used historically on this earth by man. Man has been channeling the energy of oxen for the modern mechanical plow. As testified via King Solomon's Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 4, quote, when there are no oxen, the trough is clean, but many crops are reaped or come through the power of the ox, end of quote. However, this nature within domesticated animals, like say the ox, this power does not elicit the innate alacrity of the undomesticated wildlife, which has a different root, shorish hanefesh, which is being elicited from the countenance, spiritual countenance or face of the lion, as depicted in chapter 1, verse 10. So we move on, and then we note that the root of all winged creatures is elicited from the spiritual countenance of the eagle, the face of the eagle on the divine chariot. And we know the eagle, at least in the times of the giving of the Torah and throughout the ages, has been identified as the bird which flies to the highest heights of all the creation, empowering all different types of winged life to fly at their various levels of heights. However, now we proceed onwards, blessed souls, to the root of the soul of man, which is elicited from the spiritual countenance, the face of the man depicted in chapter 1, verse 10. In Ezekiel as well, blessed souls, in another chapter, another verse, but let's just remind ourselves again to share with you this point that the soul of the natural soul, which empowers the man's animal tendencies, women for that matter as well, is elicited again from the spiritual countenance the man found also on the chariot, one of the four faces, the spiritual countenance or face of man on the divine chariot, joined eternally with the spiritual countenance of the eagle and the ox and the lion. And therefore, those who are naturalists who want to say at some level or on all levels, for some people mistakenly have that notion that we are just like the other animals, we don't agree that we're like all the animals, but there's something within our nature which binds us together with all the animals, which gives us a unique feature within our human souls, a dimension of being intermingled with the root of the other souls of various forms of life forms, most notably the spiritual sources connected to the eagle, oxen, and lion. But also, not here is it further discussion, but we're also connected to the soul levels as well within our natural energetic forces to plant an inanimate matter as well. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31, we are also reminded who we're rooted in on a higher level as human beings, aside from the depiction we've been talking about tersely or briefly right now in chapter 1, verse 10 in Ezekiel. Quote, "Now you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. You are man. I am your creator. The word of the creator, the Most High, your God." Now, whatever connects Blessed Soul's lower man, paradigm of lower man, to paradigm of upper man, and again, we've identified already the lower sense of human being, not in a negative way, but just in the rung of consciousness of human being in terms of our physical energy being channeled to us from the spiritual energy and countenance of the face of man and one of the four faces on the chariot. There is even a man who is depicted in that vision of Ezekiel, prophetic vision, who rides upon the chariot. And this higher man is the one we seek to connect to if we want to be in the category of those souls who are Yasha LaKodesh Baruch Hu, straight to the Most High. And what is the means by which we can be connected to this lower sense of human, how can we connect this lower sense of human being to the higher sense of human consciousness of human being? Well, this is given to us in a verse in the book of Numbers, chapter 19, verse 14, where it reads, Zos HaTorah Adam, or Zos Torah Adam. This is the Torah, or the teaching of man. And this is the root, the Shorish Shel Nefesh Elokis, the source of the divine soul. However, again, if we've just mentioned blessed souls, and we'll call it in another term, however, the Nefesh Bahamas, the animal soul of man, its root is found within spiritual countenance of the ox, which is also embedded within the spiritual countenance of lower man, who appeared to Ezekiel in chapter 1, verse 10, where there is depicted the vision of the divine chariot that the prophet Ezekiel had experienced. That being said, blessed souls, we're going to conclude now. It's been a little bit of a rough show because of the glitches, technologically speaking, probably more likely from my side than the side of Blog Talk Radio. So for those of you who brave through this show, I thank you for your courage to do so. This is Danzo Sugubin wishing everyone, as we're getting ready for Shavuos, that we should try to bring our hearts together more in positive meditations. And when we do that, we shouldn't be surprised if we are then starting to access more positive revelations for ourselves to be shared, hopefully with others, in the spirit of Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny kulano for all of us, but Darchi Shom Darchi Noam, in a peaceful, pleasant way. We're going to continue with Yosef Kadurner's Shir Malos, a cappella Tehillim, chapter 121, the Song of Ascents. A song for ascents. I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the garden Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Creator is your guardian. The Creator is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day, the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Creator will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Creator will guard your going out and your coming in from now unto eternity. Blessed souls, take it. Remember, you have a divine image which helps you scrimmage. The Telemokim is no dream. You have more good than evil in yourself because you are rooted in Hatev Tov Lehetiv, the nature of the good is do good, and the ultimate source of goodness of Tov, Be'emet, is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Ein Tov Baruch Hu, infinite Creator, may be blessed. Take care, everyone. It's all enough. Hashem ishmor tzedakah.